The gift of Christmas. Welcome Brenda Crames to the platform. She comes and gives a message for today.
Well, good morning. How's your Christmas shopping going? You got about a week. All this is going to make sense here in just a minute. Wow, you like my Christmas notebook? I had to bump it up. Pastor Bill's been dressing so spiffy the last couple weeks. Well, how many Amazon Prime members do we have here today?
Yeah, baby.
Woohoo! Did you know this isn't? Well, you'll take it for what it's worth. On the Victory Church website page, there's actually a button you can push, and some of your money will go to Victory Church. So you have a double blessing there. It doesn't cost you anything, so you should go on online and do that. But anyway, for your Amazon Prime members, I thought you might be interested in this press release that just came out from the North Pole. During a press conference via satellite from the North Pole, Amazon has announced an agreement with Santa Claus Industries to acquire Christmas. In the deal, Amazon would gain instant access to millions of households through the Santa sleigh, suggesting that two-day delivery and even overnight waits for packages will soon be obsolete. Beginning today, December 17th, Christmas and the reindeer names will be copyrighted by Amazon. This unprecedented move was facilitated by the court of the North Pole, also included in the buyout, where Amazon assured its commitment to all who have made Christmas great and vowed to make licensing of Christmas and reindeer names available to all. However, it is believed these licensing agreements will have very strict guidelines. When asked why buy Christmas, Jeff Bezos replied that Amazon has been working on a more efficient and cost-effective delivery mechanism for all our products for some time and recognize that the Santa sleigh offers some immediate benefits that will bring Amazon Prime membership to a new, more instant gratification for placing orders and overall better quality of life. For a small additional fee, Prime members could actually order Christmas gifts up until midnight on Christmas Eve with no delivery delays. An economist at Goldman Sachs, you know, they always comment on everything, explained that this could mean a catastrophic slip in the next year's economy as the worldwide shipping industry would likely suffer a big hit. But it could be good in the long run because Christmas and the joy of giving could continue into May or June, which are typically slower months for retailers. However, personal debt and chronic procrastination may skyrocket to never-before-seen levels. When asked if other holidays are being considered, Mr. Bezos explained that not all holidays are available for purchase, and we need to show long-term benefits to be considered, suggesting the holidays with a short history may not be in the plans. Though specific terms of the agreement were withheld, a Santa official confirmed that the deal was sizable even for a man of Santa's stature. Some analysts speculate that Santa wants to expand his business to year-round products and services, while others contend the Jolly Red Man is looking to retire in Seattle. A spokesperson for the most famous reindeer could not be reached for comment. So there you have it, a procrastinator's dream all the way up until midnight. Well, we have notes for today. If you didn't get a copy, you can raise your hand and our fabulous ushers will bring you a copy. Thank you. Well, we're full force into the season of giving. And did you know that one of God's primary love languages, there's five of them, you know, is giving gifts? Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, he is the chief of giving gifts. Or if you're Latino, he is the El Jefe. The El Jefe of giving gifts. Isn't that fun to say? That's one of my nicknames for Pastor Carl, El Jefe. He's the chief. He's the boss. Although he'll tell you I'm the boss, but he's the El Jefe. Actually, God is the El Jefe of all five love languages because he's perfect, right? So the title of this message is The Gift That Keeps Giving. Did you know that the word gift appears in the Bible 158 times? That's a lot, isn't it? I have a few to go over with you. I won't go over them all today. I know you're disappointed, but we're not going to put these up on the screen. I'm just going to go through them and comment on them. They're in your notes. Numbers 18:32 talks about sacred gifts. And these are our tithes and offerings. Did you know that if you're planning on giving a special offering this Christmas, that God calls that holy? How many things does God call holy in the Bible? Us, when Jesus lives in us, but there's not a lot. He's holy. And Acts 2:38 talks about the Holy Spirit as a gift. You remember the disciples were told to go to the upper room and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit? I'm praying for that gift right now so I can speak to you and minister to you, that he would move through me. And we could do a whole teaching on just the Holy Spirit and how wonderful he is, that he lives inside of us, he leads us and guides us, he comforts us. He does so many wonderful things for us. Romans 1:11, Paul teaches about spiritual gifts that are in each of us. God has deposited gifts and talents in each one of us. It's an investment. You know, he put that in us when he formed us in our mother's womb. Romans 6:23 is the gift of eternal life. That's a forever gift. That works here, and when we step into eternity on that glorious day, we'll see that. One of my favorite scriptures that amazes me when I think about it is Romans 11:29, and that's the one that says God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. That means he doesn't take them back. You can't mess up so bad that God would take back what he deposited in you. And, you know, his grace is a powerful force. It's like a heat-seeking missile looking for you to have that impact, to bring you into your destiny. That's pretty forceful, isn't it? That's how much he loves us. Did you realize that you are a gift from God? You are. Let's put that scripture up, Adam. Psalms 127:3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. We're all his children, aren't we? How many of you were once a child? Yeah. Hey, some of you didn't raise your hand. I want to talk to you later. That's pretty cool. But that means that you're a gift. You are a reward. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm God's gift to the world. Some of you are pretty good at that. We're going to come back to that in just a bit. I guess we all have an idea of what a perfect Christmas might be. And sometimes Christmas can bring a lot of pressure with it. And high expectations, if you let it. You know, they have tons of songs. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on some people. And especially when you have small children, you want it to be a beautiful experience for them. And there's always that one or possibly more relatives that comes with visions of grumpiness dancing in their heads to ruin your Christmas. Those are always interesting. And Thanksgiving. They like to do it then, too. Yep. And most people have a Christmas that stands out above others. And when I was writing this, the Lord reminded me of one for our family. There were five of us at the time. This was BK. That means before Kevin. He's our last one. As Christmas of 1988 was approaching, our family of five found ourselves temporarily in a small shack behind a friend's house in Houston. It was in disrepair. It had a big hole in one wall, but we were really thankful for it. The owner tacked up a piece of plywood to keep the dogs out, which was nice of him. And some nice people had loaned us bedding and a space heater, and we had little money for food or gas, or let alone any gifts or toys for the boys. And it was a bit cold and damp. It was kind of a dreary setting. And there was no crib for baby Michael. In fact, the first 9 months of Michael's life, he didn't have a baby crib, because back in April, earlier that year, we packed up everything we owned, we put it in storage, and we went to Texas for a job opportunity. So here it was Christmas Eve, we were down to beans and rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a few pieces of Christmas candy that I'd saved from a church party. And for a while, when we came to Houston, things were going well. We had a lot of job opportunities, and God worked miracles, and our faith grew. We even had a barter for an apartment to live in, but when those opportunities ran out, we found ourselves in a difficult situation pretty quickly. There were no cell phones. There were no computers. There wasn't even a phone in that little shack. So it was us and God. Have you ever had a us, it's me and God moment? Yeah. I think we all do. It's where we find out just what we're made of. He shows us what we're made of. Pastor Bill's been talking about tests. So while we were there, God provided for us, like I said, but here it was. It was Christmas Eve, and we hadn't got a paycheck. Carl had taken up some temporary jobs. He was working at UPS in the morning and Radio Shack for the rest of the day. But they were on a two-week pay cycle, and for five people, 2 weeks is a really long time, you know, to wait for money to buy food and things that you need. So Carl would get up early. He would leave before the boys woke up, because UPS starts early packing. And then he would come home late at night after they were in bed, because Radio Shack closes at 10. So he was gone most of the day. So he'd quietly come in at night, and we'd whisper so we wouldn't wake the boys up. And we'd pray together, and we'd believe God together. We talked about scriptures, and we knew it was a test. It felt like we were stuck in time, like we were hidden away from the world. And our lives were on hold, waiting for the next step. You know, sometimes difficult times prepare us for the next step that God has for us. That's where we were. And we watched over our words, because you know how I said earlier that it was holy? It seemed like a holy time, that God really wanted us to believe in him and not to ask for help. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for help, but in this situation, we knew that God wanted us to fully trust him to provide for us. And meanwhile, back at the shack, while Carl was working all those long hours, you've heard about the term, right? Meanwhile, back at the farm, it was meanwhile back at the shack. Okay. Just wanted you to know how funny that was. Okay. Okay. So Carl had his scriptures. We're big on confessing scriptures. If you heard either of us speak, we talk about that. That's a very important part of our marriage relationship, is to go over scriptures together. But these were the scriptures, and they're in your notes, they're going to be on the screen, that I trusted in, that I meditated on. And I had certain songs that I would sing when I felt really sad. I would sing those songs to God as a love offering to him, that I trust him, he's going to provide. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Isaiah 54:13, "All of your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great." Can I tell you just how God has honored that in our lives? We're so blessed with four godly men. Psalm 68:6, "God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land." That's a heavy scripture, isn't it? You know, God takes us through times where we examine our hearts and we say, "God, if there's anything that's bad in me, would you please take it out? I do not want to be rebellious. I do not want my children suffering because I made a bad mistake, or I'm here," and you humble yourself. So Christmas Eve came, still no paycheck, but out of the blue, a friend sent us a check for $25. We celebrated with a family meal from Grandy's with extra yeast rolls. Of all the best meals ever eaten in all the world, that one has to rank among God's top 10. Such a precious time. And so thankful for it, because we learned so much during that time. And to top it off, a big package came in the mail from my mom. It had a gift in it for each boy, and it had some warm clothes for baby Michael. He'd outgrown everything that we had taken with us there. Like I said, we learned a lot. It was a test. And God didn't waste a single thing that we experienced. He never does, you know. He doesn't waste anything that we go through. We learn not to judge others when they find themselves in a difficult situation. We learn just how fast you can be homeless. And we learned how much $25 can mean. It means more than you can possibly imagine when it's given at the right time. So be sensitive to that when God asks you to share some money with someone. You never know what they're going through. So we'll lighten it up just a little bit. Now, Christmas can be stressful for those whose primary love language is giving gifts. I know this because that's one of my primary love languages. For many years of our marriage, and I ran this by Pastor Carl, so I can tell you this, I would start months in advance listening to little ideas of what he might like for Christmas that would make his Christmas perfect. I'd wrap it up, put it under the tree, and I'd sit over there and I'd wait for his smile and his, you know, exuberant, oh, I'm so happy you remembered, how'd you know? But no, year after year, it was a tepid response. And the gifts would end up in the corner of our bedroom, still in their packages. And he would wait until the return date expired so I couldn't take it back. And he'd say, oh, you can take those back. I don't really need them. I appreciate the thought, though. That was a good thought. I see where you were going with that. So I would think, I failed. Next year, his birthday, I'll get something he likes. Well, this went on for decades. We've been married a long time until about 3 years ago. We were preparing for one of our marriage seminars, and we took this love language test online. And would you like to know what Pastor Carl scored in gift giving? Zero. I can't tell you how much that set me free. I was like, it's not my fault. It's how God made him. I would never please him because it's impossible. No. Now, Pastor Carl will tell you he does like certain gifts. He likes food, so he really enjoys gift cards to places like Bonefish and Carrabba's, places like that. And apparently, he's been leaving out flyers all week of bedroom slippers for me. Apparently. Apparently, there's this perfect pair of slippers out there. I have yet to find it because I've tried before. So we'll see. I'll keep you updated on if I have success. Now, Pastor Carl scores high in quality time and touch. So pretty much, if I hold his hand and I go everywhere with him, he's pretty happy. Yep. Some people say, you should be thankful. I am. If you listen to this, it'll set some of you free. I know there are people that you tried to please at Christmas. You know, matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that whoever came up with that phrase, that it's the thought that count, I bet they scored a zero on gift giving. Well, you know, at Victory Church, we want your Christmas to be blessed. So Pastor Mike has printed up copies of this back here in the back. So you can get it. There's one for singles, couples, and teenagers. So, you know, and if you have that difficult family member, why don't you take one for them and maybe you can figure out how to make them happy for Christmas. Now, some of my best Christmas memories as a child were during the 1960s when my dad was the chief engineer at Dunson Mill. He's the El Jefe at Dunson Mill, right? Each Christmas, he'd bring home grocery bags full of candy. This is just one. He'd bring like six or seven home. And it'd be filled with apples and candy, oranges and candy, nuts and candy. To get the point, there was a lot of candy in those bags. And then also the Coca-Cola Bottling Company would send us flats of Coke, Sprite, ginger ale. They threw in a couple of Tabs and Frescas. I wouldn't recommend those. Those were the first diet drinks, and they were awful. Has anybody ever tasted those? Yeah, they're not real popular, so you probably won't see those. But you remember a while ago I told you that you are a gift to the world? Well, if you look under your seat, there's a little white flat box like this one. You can go ahead and put that together if you like, for those of you who are hands-on. If you're frustrated, I'm sure a neighbor can help you put it together. Now, let's imagine that this box represents you. I like it because it's white. You know, the scripture tells us that though our sins be scarlet, God makes us white as snow. He cleans us up, doesn't he? Yeah. Now, when you have Romans 6:23 in your heart, that's the gift of eternal life in your heart, you have the power to become light and life to others. You're God's gift to the world, especially those he places around you. It's coming together. I see it. It's a race. Who's got their box done? Hold it. Woo! Look at that. All right. Oh, okay. Amber was helping Jordan. What if you could fill your boxes with good things every day? Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, wait a minute. God says he wants to do that for us, doesn't he? He wants us to meet up with him every day. I know that's true because of Psalm 103:5. Adam, if you put that up, that's your fill in the blank. He fills my life with good things. You're going to have to put your box down for just a minute. Fill in your blank. He fills my life with good things. Let's see, if I was filling this box for Pastor Carl, I got a funny story. Last night when Pastor Carl and I were putting these boxes under people's chairs, he noticed I didn't put one under his, and he goes, "Where's my box?" So we may have to give him that test again. I think he might score higher this time. All right. If I was this is your box, honey, right here. Okay. If I was packing a box for Uncle Carl, I mean Uncle. Maybe he is your uncle, I don't know. Pastor Carl, he has many titles. All right, Dad. Oh, Lily likes to call him Pastor Granddaddy. Okay. I'd put in an orange because he likes a little orange juice every day, don't you? And he likes dark chocolate. Yeah, yeah. I'll put two in for you. All right. And I'll throw in a couple of nuts because as a business owner, he has to deal with a few nut jobs. Did I really say that? All right. And I'll throw in a couple kisses because I love him. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So what if every day we took this to the next level and instead of us filling it, we said, "God, would you please fill my box today with what I need to be your witness, to be light and love to the world?" Wouldn't that be powerful? Yeah. So what sort of gift are you going to be to the world? What are you going to bring to this party we call life? It's a daily choice to ask God to fill you with love, peace, and joy. You have to live life intentionally. You have to make that decision as if you're on a mission, because how many of you are on a mission? That's all of us, right? Now, for those who are visual learners, we have a little emoji for you to explain, Adam, how we did. You want to be the emoji on the left, not the right. You don't want poo in your box when you go out in the daytime, right? Okay, does that help everybody? It's perfectly clear, right? Okay. Let's go back to Romans 6:23 with that scripture. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why don't you underline that word gift? You can put a box around it, circle it, whatever you want to do. And let me ask you, have you opened that gift yet? It's under your tree. It's under everybody's tree. You know, I put this box under your seat, but I can't make you go fill it up. Do you know what? After the service, there's a big tub of goodies out in the lobby, and you're going to get to fill your boxes up and take them home. It's a Christmas present to all of you. Now, don't miss out. I'll know if there's empty boxes left here, because just like Pastor Carl, I'm watching you. All right. You know, if you haven't made that decision yet, we're going to give you opportunity in just a little bit. We don't want you to miss out on the greatest gift of all that God's given to you. But first, I wanted to talk with people that maybe Christmas is hard for you. One of the things that I've learned in life is that no matter how great a person is, they can disappoint you. In fact, they always will, because we're human. We're not God. And if your joy and happiness is dependent upon the people around you, you're going to be disappointed. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And you know, something I've learned, if there's something missing in my life, if I give in that area, God fills it up. So if you're missing love and hope, be love and hope to somebody else. You know, recently Carl's mother passed away about a month ago. And I was spending a lot of time first with her in the nursing home and then in the hospital. And there's so many people that are alone and hurting. And if you just stop by and say, "Hey, I just want to come by and pray for you." Or if you're shy, if you just wrote out a little note that said, "Jesus loves you, I'm praying for you today," and you left it for him, you can't imagine what that would do to somebody. It's like that $25 that somebody sent us on Christmas Eve. You know, for some people, that's their last Christmas that they're there. So those are just some suggestions. You know, when we ask God for his help and we give to others out of our need, he fills up those emptied areas of our life. So let's just take a moment and close our eyes and let's just focus in on Jesus. He's so good to us, isn't he? God, we just can't fathom the efforts that you've gone to bless us, your children. God, help us to embrace Christmas and be the gift of life to others. Now, this is a very special moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask, if you haven't received Jesus in your heart and you want to do that, I'd like you to raise your hand right now. Nobody's going to see you but me, me and Jesus. Thank you. One more minute. It's important. Thank you, Lord. And now, if Christmas is really hard for you, maybe you've lost someone this year, it's your first Christmas without them, or it's just hard in general, if you'd raise your hand, I'm going to be praying for you this week. I see those hands. Thank you. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, you are the giver of life. You make all things new. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I invite you into my heart. I receive your forgiveness for everything I've done wrong. Fill me with your love, peace, and joy. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to live life intentionally and use your gifts wisely to be a blessing to others. At Christmas and always, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Remember to fill your boxes with good things today.
Give Brenda a hand. What an awesome...